Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Drunk women solving crime.
Welcome to Drunk Women Empire live at the London Podcast Festival! Woo! This is a very special mashup episode of, I'm just going to say it, the two best podcasts in the UK, nay, the Northern Hemisphere.
Just go whoa.
I can't vouch for the Southern Hemisphere, frankly. South America's kicking our asses. It's very good to see you guys here. I am Taylor Glenn. I'm from Drunk Women Solving Crime. You've probably worked that out already. And I am joined, as always, by Katie Wilkins.
Hi, that's
fantastic.
Me.
Fantastic. And we've also got Hannah George. We do love sending pregnant Hannah on our booze runs. That's been a real, it's been a real highlight of her pregnancy. We're like, go get four bottles of Cava at Sainsbury's. And she does, and she puts them in her backpack. Oh, it's just a bit of joy. To my left, we have got the lovely, fantastic members of the Empire Film Cast. Jesus Christ, I've only had
one
drink.
Mouthful. It's a mouthful.
This is the Empire Film, blah, 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 blah. Please welcome Chris Hewitt.
Hey.
Yay. Chris, how are you? Are you well?
I'm good. I got my moonshine.
The moonshine.
I'm very, very happy. I should apologize up front. I'm a teetotal.
Me too.
There's no need to apologize
no
for that.
Apologies needed.
But I'm from Northern Ireland, so I'm very used to crack. Oh, yes, folks. Mainline some crack backstage. It should kick in about 20 minutes.
Oh, just like
Primo.
The real detectives.
Primo crack.
Amazing. We've also got Helen O'Hara.
Hello. Yes.
Yay. Helen, how are you today?
I'm good. We're going to be cracking the case, apparently. So that's super good. I am also teetotal because we're really just selling the Northern Irish stereotype here.
Well, that's a cracker.
I've eaten a lot of chocolate, to be honest. So I'm on a sugar high, so it's going to be fine.
Look, that is absolutely fine.
We're still rock and roll. We've eaten loads of chocolate. Some of it was 70%.
Also, all of the chocolate you ate, I was back there. It's all fun size. So it's not even...
Fun size.
Not even the good stuff.
I mean, Mars.
Full of antioxidants. And finally, we've got James Dyer. Welcome.
Hello.
Yay! James, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm not teetotal, but the only alcohol I like the taste of is Sambuca. Which I appreciate is a really fucking weird thing to say. But luckily for us, they did provide a whole jug of it. So that's
wait a minute, that's Sambuca?
Oh, yes. No, it's because it tastes like sweets. It's because it tastes like sweets.
Wow.
Yeah. Other stuff tastes like sweets.
No, but not quite like that. Like, it's proper sweet stuff, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. And somebody else, wait, is it same for you? You only like Sambuca?
For the listeners, she said, no, I drink many things.
It's like getting ripped to the tits on aniseed balls. Like it's good stuff.
I mean, it's a classic. Does it taste a bit like, what's the stuff that you're not supposed to light it on fire, but it always lights on fire?
No, but that's the flaming Sambucas.
Absinthe.
I have no idea. I've never had any.
It makes a heart grow fonder.
The last time I had absinthe, I went bungee jumping.
And you hadn't even pre-booked. You just just made you go off a cliff.
I got in that queue.
Actual bungee jumping, or you just felt like
no,
that?
No, it was followed the Green Ferry.
Okay.
Sure.
I did. I followed the Green Ferry. Full disclosure, it was at my university graduation ball thing.
What?
There was a bungee jump. There was like all kinds of weird stuff at this thing.
Where did you go to school?
Everest.
UEA in Norwich. Center Park's you.
But basically, and there's all men in the queue, and this like really drunk girl was like, come on, some of the women have got to do it.
It was a long time ago, but she did say girl power. But she also gave me absinthe. And so then I was in.
Wow. So you drank a bit of absinthe, and did you do this without barfing?
Yeah, I screamed the whole way down.
Wow.
And I'm pretty sure my eyes were really big afterwards, because you know, sometimes people's retinas do detach.
Oh, no.
But mine didn't. They stayed in. They just looked bigger. Tell you what, your education system is very different here. But I do enjoy it. So just a little bit, especially for the people who maybe haven't listened to either podcast, it's a mashup format, so it's a little bit drunk women solving crime, but it's all got a film theme tonight. So I'm going to kick off with a question for the panelists, and then we're going to deconstruct a true crime story that is film related. Ooh. And then finally, and this is important, we're going to ask one of you to share a story of the time that you were the victim of a crime, or perhaps even a time that you witnessed an interesting crime. Now, normally when we do this on the podcast, we try to solve the crime and we sort of offer our very sage advice. Tonight, we're going to decide if it makes a good movie. And we might suggest who might be cast in the film, who a good director might be. So it might not be the best night for your, you know, unresolved trauma.
Yeah.
Just because I don't want to feel bad if you tell the story and we're like, Quentin Tarantino! Yeah.
Do we want to fucking win an Oscar or not?
Well, like, you've worked through it, share.
Talking about winning for sharing your trauma and having us trivialize it, you will win a bottle of Prosecco!
Hooray!
So have a think. Don't think so hard that you don't pay attention to the rest of it and laugh at us, because we all have fragile egos. I mean, I can only speak for myself.
Everybody else, fragile retinas.
Shall we kick off with the first question?
Yeah.
Let's do it. What is the greatest crime that has ever been committed against cinema?
Oh. Oh.
Yes.
Do we have to have perpetrated it?
No.
I've got a couple of short films that might fit the bill.
Okay.
Not at all. Interpret it as you will.
For me, the biggest crime against cinema is that Titanic wasn't longer. And I stand by
it. Did you want to see more people die horribly? Was that...
Yeah, that bit at the end. Yeah. More of that.
Another 3 hours of that, please.
Yeah. Hannah likes snuff
Leo
movies.
Leo freezes to death. Yeah. In real time.
Yeah, I want more people hitting that. I was about to say fan. What's the thing at the back? Turbine?
Propeller, yes.
Propeller.
Yeah. More of the good stuff at the end.
Real good shit.
Just her on the door, but in real time.
Yeah.
Still floating.
And her full recovery from hypothermia. Right. I want to see the whole thing.
Yeah. Very good, Hannah. Very good. Anyone that listens to Drunk Women, you know Hannah is slightly obsessed with Titanic. So that was appropriate answer. Anybody else got any thoughts?
Well, I guess thematically, I will say, so when the discussion was had about this question,
yeah,
I was on holiday in Florida. Uh-huh. So I misunderstood the question. And I thought it was what is the worst crime that's been committed in a film. So I decided to pick the 2016 Morton Tilden film, Passengers.
Okay.
Because I thought it was kind of interesting because it's Chris Pratt and he's on a spaceship and he's travelling 100 years to go to this new home and there's a malfunction in his cryosleep and he wakes up 90 years early. So he fucks about on the ship for ages, kicks a football around, gets really bored, gets really horny, so does the thing that anyone would do. He finds the hottest other passenger, Jennifer Lawrence, and just wakes her up. And condemns her to life with him for like 90 years. And that's and then they fall in love, because obviously you would. And I thought that was particularly creepy.
Yeah.
So that was my crime. But I suppose if it has to be a crime against cinema, it would probably be that I gave the film 4 stars. And described it, I shit you not, as Titanic amongst the stars. Which they put on the fucking poster. So it will follow me to my grave.
Wait, but why did you do that?
I don't know. My retina had detached. I didn't see it properly.
Did you like it on a first look? And then you're like, ooh, actually, that's dark.
Like, weirdly, in my own head, I thought, oh, that's really sweet, isn't it? And then I watched it again and was like, no, it's really fucking creepy.
Because, like, normally that happens when you watch a film from the 80s. You're like, yeah. I loved it. Oh, no.
Oh, no. But, like, what puts it in perspective is someone's actually recut the trailer for that as a horror film.
So I saw that.
Yeah, exactly. So you as the audience don't know that he... Because the thing is, when he wakes her up, the crucial thing is, he wakes her up and sort of goes, oh, look, I've woken up too. Look at us here together, and keeps it from her. And obviously in the recut version, that's the big reveal halfway through the film. Yeah. But obviously in the actual one, you know, he glosses over that.
Jimbo, why did you call it Titanic amongst the stars? Because I don't see... any similarities unless... I mean,
and you were told at the time that it was super creepy.
I mean, sure.
Because we had that conversation.
I'm not saying I have got a great excuse, but my name did get on the poster.
Of a terrible film.
Of a terrible film.
Oh, well, you win some, you lose some.
Is that bittersweet for you now? Or are you still... You look quite happy about it.
I mean, it will live on in infamy long after I've died, so...
He booked several cruises afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
It's actually a star cruise.
I hope I'm meeting that special someone.
It's an unconventional meet cute. I'll give you that. Yeah.
Matt, that's a good answer. I feel like my answer is going to look ridiculous compared to that, but I will still give it to you. Dude, where's my car?
Dude!
Sweet.
Dude.
Where's my car?
Sweet.
Dude!
Sweet. So bad. The reason I hate it for 2 reasons. Number one is it thinks it's Bill and Ted and it's not. No. Yeah, right? No, that groan not. Says everything. Thank you. Bill and Ted is awesome and actually very inclusive, which, Dude, Where's My Car? Is not. No. So, like, bro misogynistic. And the second reason I hate it is that ending when the aliens make the women's tits massive as a treat. Like,
oh,
I just
Katie,
think...
I've never seen it.
Spoiler.
I just think
the greatest cinema crime ever, spoiling Dude, Where's My Car? Jesus Christ, there goes Sunday.
I just genuinely, I think that must have done so much damage to like young people that would have seen that were already insecure.
But oh,
I bet boob jobs went up after that.
90s and noughties feminism was very confused, to say the least.
It did have Ashton Kutcher in it, and he would never say anything embarrassing. It's absolutely fine.
Just flawless sense.
Sure.
Yeah. Sense, all sensible decisions.
In fairness, Titanic ends the same way.
They'd have stayed afloat if all that tits got there. That would have been ideal.
It's a buoyancy aid.
We could have saved 10 more people.
Women with big titties first. And children, probably.
See, that's the alternate Dude, Where's My Car ending. It would have made it longer, so you kind of get your wish if they did that.
True. Gosh, this is really helping
it's
me
conflicting.
Through.
Would you like it to be longer, but it ends like Dude, Where's My Car? What would you choose?
Wow.
Yes, I would. I would. Wow. I would. Because they had sex in the car as well. It's all linking, isn't it?
All right.
At least I think that's what they were doing. I don't know.
Dude, where's my car? Someone's having sex in
Have we been mispronouncing the title of that film all this time? It's actually
Titanic.
It's possible.
Tit antics.
Tit antics.
That's more of an 80s film.
To draw me like one of your big titted alien French girls.
4 stars, James Dyer.
Passengers on the way.
Passengers on the sea, yes.
So So these have all been brilliant answers. I've really enjoyed that. Chris, Helen?
Look, I have the definitive one. It's in Avengers Endgame, which is a good film otherwise. But there's a scene at the very beginning where Captain America shaves his beard. And had just nailed his look, okay? They had just rolled up the sleeves and given us the little cuffs and the beard. And then, for no reason, he shaves off the beard and goes from being unspeakably hot to just being like a handsome, nice man.
A handsome, nice man. That's Chris Evans.
A handsome, nice man. And no, he's Captain America. It's a whole different thing.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'm really not over it. It's very upsetting.
You don't even get to see the beard shaving.
You don't even get to see. He's just wiping it away like it didn't matter.
Oh, my.
Helen has some trauma to work through still.
Anyway, it's okay.
I think it's very understandable.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Michael Flatley film, The Blackbird?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good one. Yeah. But there's a scene in that where he shaves for no reason. So, like, that, it sounded like you needed that scene.
Maybe that's what Captain America was referencing or something. Yes. Somehow, like, even though he hadn't seen it yet.
I'm really the best a man can get, he says in a very deep Irish accent. I interviewed him for the podcast for that, Michael Flatley.
Did you?
Yeah, it was difficult because he wouldn't stand still. Sit down, Flatley. God damn it.
This is an audio medium. It's
just tapping away.
It's
just
picking up the tapping. Yeah,
the noise gate's not going to remove your feet, Flatley. He was really lovely. He was just like a nice man who pursued his dream of becoming richer than God and then making his own movie.
Love that.
Yeah. Feels churlish to nominate that as a cinematic crime. Now,
but I will.
It might be that one. It might be that one. There's loads of cinematic crimes. There's Dick Van Dyke's accent in everything, pretty much. Little known fact, Dick Van Dyke's accent in Mary Poppins is how he actually sounds in real life. Everything else is fake. There is one of the most famous casting controversies of all time, which is Harrison Ford taken over from Tom Selleck as Indiana Jones, which deprived us of Tom Selleck's movie career. That's a cinematic crime, quite frankly, right there. But the one that keeps me awake at night, the one where I was going to say jerk upwards at 3 a.m, but...
Two usually go down.
At my age, there's precious little jerking going on at all, but just the
precious
Oscars...
Precious little, what a lovely...
Precious little...
I'm going to have a precious little wank.
So many Freudian slips. I'll have a little precious little wank. I'm very impressively endowed.
Right, that's the bull quote from this episode, definitely.
It is Titanic amongst something. Yeah.
Dude, where's my penis? So sad.
Sorry, I interrupted. Do you go on?
No, it's fine. No one wants to hear my crime.
What made you?
It's the Oscars Best Song category. I wake up at 3 a.m. going, they didn't nominate Staying Alive! How can you not nominate Staying Alive? The Oscars, we know, get everything wrong, right? They get everything wrong. But the Oscars, if you go back, check out the Oscars Best Song category. It is the most egregious collection of fuckwittery you have ever seen. If they have an amazing song, you can bet your bottom dollar they will ignore it. They didn't give a single Oscar to a single Bond song until Adele, that's a good song, and then they've given it to the two shit ones that have come since. It's just awful, but Staying Alive!
That is incredible.
They invented new noises, the Bee Gees. No one had ever gone, ah! before. Give them an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
Imagine the acceptance speech. Ha, 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 I like to thank my wife! That'd have been amazing. Anyway, thank you for that. Three people who applauded. That was great.
It was actually the Brothers Gibb.
Which is amazing because two of them are dead.
Yeah.
there's just a G now. Come on. Easy, Tiger.
Oh. Wow, Oscar snub. That was
Oscar snub.
That was a fantastic round. I feel like we should always ask that, even though it would make no sense.
There will be more crimes in cinema.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So you've brought up the Oscars. So I say, shall we go to the true crime section of the podcast? I am the only one with the details of this crime. However, I have a feeling that especially our experts in film might know the story, and they're going to have to play
dumb. That's quite the assumption.
I mean, maybe not. Maybe not. We shall see. It's a bit like we've decided to bring film experts and ask them questions.
Where are they? Are they backstage?
Well, you're also humble.
They're very well hidden.
Very humble. Well, the case starts with a fun fact. There used to be...
Yes, fun.
There used to be an Academy Award for something called Best Story. Now, this basically recognized the general premise of a film, the storytelling, but not necessarily the writing. The writing could be absolutely shit, and a film could still win Best Story. Story. So picture everything James Cameron's ever done. Oh, oh, he would clean up.
Oh, that's boy. Fighting talk right there.
He can take it.
But can James? This yeah, is
that is the question.
But it was a confusing award because obviously story, screenplay, they're a little bit intertwined. So
you could get an Oscar for your potential.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because before studios were working more with independent screenwriters, it was more the norm that somebody would come up with a story and then they'd hire the screenwriter and assign them to it. Yeah. So there were often two different people.
So it could be a good idea that gets poorly executed.
Indeed, Katie.
Name of your sex tape?
Dude, where's my sex tape? Pamela Anderson. It's just a little reference.
Yeah, too soon.
I didn't steal it. I didn't
true
steal
crime
it.
Now. True crime.
Jesus. So, my hosting style is I like to make you hate me first, and then I try to win it back, and it's always, ooh, it's touch and go, it's touch and go. So it was a confusing award. Eventually, the Academy decided it was redundant. So your first question, detectives, is what was the final year that an Oscar for Best Story was awarded?
Helen.
Oh, don't look at me. I think it was pretty early on. I think it was like in the 30s. Mm-hmm. 34.
34? Excellent.
Any advances in 34? 34, 35, 35 from the man.
Over 36 over here, 37 over here.
See, I feel like it would have been later than 34.
35.
Okay. I wonder if maybe it would be the 60s or the 70s.
Okay.
I think it was the year after Passengers, because it would have...
Otherwise...
It would have won, wouldn't it? In your opinion.
Absolute sweep. Yeah. So no doubt.
2021 or something.
Okay. So we've got... Can we accept the 60s or 70s?
All
it's
right.
Quite broad.
69, because it's funny.
Nice.
Nice. I'm going to say 1944. It was retired during World War II because of Hitler.
Okay.
Yeah, well, obviously to save resources during the war. That makes total
sure.
sense. Yeah.
Guns and Butter and Best Story. Has everyone answered? No, I think they have. Have you?
Yeah, I'm still going with 35, yeah.
Okay, all right. So closest, what was yours again?
69.
So I believe it goes to you because it was 1957 for a film released in 1956. So in 1957, a screenwriter called Robert Rich won the Oscar for Best Story, but Robert was not there to accept the Oscar. So your next question is, why wasn't he there?
He was bungee jumping.
No, I don't know. But the name rings a vague bell, so maybe was he blacklisted?
Ooh.
It was the '50s, there was a lot of blacklisting.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, I wanna say McCarthy. McCarthyism? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or traffic?
Traffic.
Caught in traffic?
I mean,
it's LA.
All right. Stuck on the 405.
That's literally all I know about Los Angeles. So
was he trapped under a wardrobe? I'm trying to think. It's a crime, right? Is McCarthy a crime? I don't know.
Yes, against decency.
Yeah, but that's a boring crime. I want blood. So I think someone pushed a wardrobe on top of him.
Okay.
Or something like that.
I might go with dead. Is he dead? Is that why he doesn't?
Is he dead? Yeah. Nice. Okay. That's a great reason not to show up.
Is he in prison? This is a true crime podcast.
Uh-huh.
Does he get?
Did he kill someone and then go on the run?
Yes, on the run.
Good. On the 405.
That's rich.
On the 405.
Where he got stuck in traffic.
Indeed, yes, and got caught.
Okay, well, I will tell you what. The word around the room there was that Robert Rich was not available because he was in hospital because his wife was having a baby.
Aww.
Yeah, So the vice president of the Writers Guild.
And that's easy, right, having a baby? That's fine.
Yeah.
I always like to check. It's like easy and painless.
It's, okay. Like a, it's just like a cork. Just,
wow. The crime was.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, yeah. It might even hit the ceiling. See what you can do, Hannah. Please join our Patreon for live footage. It's £3 a month. I don't think it's worth it to Hannah. Or is it?
I mean...
It costs a lot to raise a kid. Think about it. So the vice president of the Writers Guild accepted the award on his behalf, but then, lo and behold, it was discovered that Robert Rich wasn't even a member of the Writers Guild, and a wild goose chase ensued for months and months. In fact, Groucho Marx even joked... I was about to do a really bad impersonation of Groucho Marx. I guess I should just go for it now.
Do it.
I've never tried. No, it's not. No. No.
Just whenever you're ready, just go. Anytime. We're waiting.
Oi, Mary Poppins.
Just do it as Jennifer Coolidge.
Oh, isn't it about time the Writers Guild built a monument to the unknown writer? Thanks, Katie. You know my capabilities.
Good. I love your Jennifer Coolidge.
Thank you very much. Well, the twist is, guys...
You might have to read that again, though. I was so, like... I was at the White Lotus Hotel. I was just there.
Should I do it as Kim Cattrall, then, instead?
Yes!
Oh, isn't it about time the Writers Guild built a monument to the unknown writer? I love unknown. So, did you get it that time?
Good. I did, again, I was there. I was in New York City. I was having a lot of sex. I was refusing to come back for the sequel.
Rightly.
This may not shock you, but guys, the twist is Robert Rich did not exist. Dun, 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 dun. The film, which won Best Story, was called The Brave One, and it was released under a pseudonym. Your next question is, do you know who the real screenwriter was of The Brave One?
I forgot. Dalton Trumbo.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm
good. Wow.
Does anyone have any advance on the correct answer?
Oh, shit, really?
I'm so annoyed because I saw that film, and I was thinking, it's the man, it's the Dumbo man.
The Dumbo man.
I can't remember his name.
Trumbo, the Dumbo man. That's how they remembered him in Hollywood.
But I need you to know that I was close. It's ironic, isn't it, as well, because Dumbo couldn't remember things. Is that right? No.
I mean... Conceivably, but he kind of hid it. Like, I don't think he outed himself.
That wasn't his main thing.
He did carry that feather around, though. Maybe it was a mnemonic.
There you go.
You can't rule that out.
Oh, he was an elephant.
Wait. So this, what's his name? Dumbo, what's his name?
Dalton Trumbo.
It's
Dumbo Trumbo.
Get me Dumbo Trumbo on a jumbo.
Dalton Trumbo, he invented the pseudonym Robert Rich.
The pseudonym, yep.
It's basically what I said.
Yes, it is. I'm sorry. That was a really twatish thing to do. I'm sorry.
So wait, he's a writer and the best pseudonym he could come up with was Robert Rich.
But it sounds American and red-blooded and not red, so not a communist, I guess.
Yeah. It does sound a bit
very
American.
Capitalist. Robert Richsky.
Yeah. Robert Richman.
Right. Moneybags Rob.
Yeah. Cool.
Jumbo Drumbo.
Trumbo was one of the most successful screenwriters of the mid-20th century, and it will shock you to learn that he was a straight white man. Just against all odds. Really thought through. No, but he was a very interesting guy. There is a film about him starring Bryan Cranston from 2015 called Trumbo, or Dumbo, I can't remember which. He was a huge character. He was eccentric. He was witty, wisecracking, and he was known for things like polishing off his screenplays in one night in the bathtub.
Is that a euphemism?
I was going to say.
It's like jerking up.
Jerking upwards.
Tugging the trumbo.
Tugging the trumbo!
I'm going to just kill the joking and take this literally.
Okay.
Did he have a typewriter in the bath?
Yes, he did.
Not an electric one, though.
Yeah, no, that would be silly. Whereas a typewriter makes
that makes
sense.
Perfect sense.
Just like he had a sort of tray thing, right? He had a sort of tray, yeah, you know, one of those like bath tray thingies.
I love that. Such a basic bitch thing now. I love that he was doing that years ago to like have an amazing career.
I know. He might have had some like bath oils there as well.
I've done that and watched Towie. Like that's all I've done.
I was just thinking how wrinkly you'd be. Yeah. After that's the first thing I thought of. Was
it wouldn't be a jumbo trumbo, would it?
It would not be.
The water that's my was excuse. Very cold.
I have so many baths.
So I'm just too clean. I was just picturing somebody saying that right before you have sex with them. Sorry. I'm too clean. I can't do this. Anyway, enough about high school. Trumbo was the highest paid screenwriter of his time. So your next question is, what was Trumbo earning per week by the late 1940s? Now, this has accounted. This is in today's money. We've accounted for inflation, and this is in U.S. dollars.
So it is adjusted. So it's not like two shillings and sixpence.
It's not. Right. It's okay. Not that.
Well, right now, he'd be striking, right?
Yeah, oh,
that's right. Yes.
Yes. Scab, Trumbo. Yeah.
Scab.
Scab. Scab. Yeah. Scab.
No.
Boo. Boo to Trumbo. Yeah.
No.
He's really not come out of this well. He's done nothing wrong so far.
This was the golden
era. He's a tiny dick.
Yeah. Terrible memory.
I like that we've gone, he's really eccentric. He liked baths.
In the golden age of Hollywood, which this is, right? No, wait, is that the 30s? Is it still the golden age?
Yeah, but like it's still studio era.
It's a bit tarnished. It's a little bronze now, isn't it? Right, it's copper. It's the copper age.
Are the screenwriters really well paid, or is this before everyone unionized?
Well, the writers
the guild has
around.
Existed. Yeah. So they're unionized.
All right.
Unionized.
I'm gonna say he got $4 million per.
Hang on.
Fuck. Wow. You've gone straight to Shane Black levels.
Wait. I didn't mean per week. No, I meant per film. So per week.
Per annum. Shall we say per annum?
Okay, per annum, 10 million.
What?
That's too high, right?
You can answer whatever
you want. How much do you get paid to do your podcast? There's a discrepancy here.
I just assume everyone else gets paid loads.
No, fair enough. So we're going with 10 million a year?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun for me to be dramatically wrong. So either way.
It's fun. It's like playing The Price is Right. It's good. Anyone else with a reasonable answer?
A gazillion dollars.
A gazillion.
Yeah, $1 million.
$1 million.
I feel like it would have been in like the hundreds of dollars a week in at the time, but I have no idea what that translates to now. But like
4 million.
The high hundreds. 4 million. Yeah, okay. That's probably right. I feel like it's probably like, I don't know, 10,000 a week now. Is that too low?
No, that's too low. That's too low. That's my appearance money for tonight.
Wait, what?
Oh,
send the invoice.
I mean, which I'm sharing with you guys afterwards, obviously. So is this per bath or per week?
Same thing.
Okay. $100,000 a week.
Okay. All right. Anyone else hasn't chipped in?
I'm going to say $5,000 a week. I reckon he worked on the cheap and was exploited, which is why they're striking now.
$5,000 in today's money.
$5,000 in today's money.
You've seen the 2016 film Trumbo.
Actually, no.
Okay.
So perhaps I'm missing a key piece of information.
He lived a fairly lavish lifestyle, but mainly because he was cooking meth on the side.
Well, okay. Fair enough.
Wait, was he?
Oh, well, possibly. Possibly.
Nice.
We don't know. I just made it up.
Breaking Trumbo.
It sounds.
Is it because it's Cranston?
Yeah, it's Cranston, yeah. It's what he does in every movie. It's his cover story.
They cut it out of Malcolm in the Middle, but it was heavily implied.
So. Yes.
Let him cook. Let him cook.
Dalton White. Hannah George?
I'll go half of, so I'll go 50,000 a week.
Okay. I hope you guys are keeping score because I'm not. Did you say 50,000 a week?
Yes.
I believe you're the closest because it was $65,000 a week,
wow.
Which is almost $3.5 million a year.
It's no Shonda Rhimes, yep. But it's not too shabby. Not too shabby. But why did Dalton Trumbo, it's possible we've touched on this, but who knows? Why did, no, never apologize, never apologize. Why did Dalton Trumbo have to use a fake name in the first place?
Because his name was Dalton Trumbo.
Because his name was Dalton Trumbo.
Wait, did
Trimble Dimble.
Wait.
Thumble Booble.
Did he write
Pibble Dibble
films under the name Trumbo
Schnoodle Doodle
as well? Yeah. And then he branched out with an extra name.
Uh-huh. Okay. Like he did a Stephen King and he's like, I'm too prolific, so I need an alter ego.
Maybe all of his films were action films and he wanted to write a romance.
Mm. Okay.
And he had to like rebrand so that people would accept it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with that. It's like Anne Rice, when she writes porn, she does it under another name.
Actually, sorry, she what?
Which is perfectly fine.
Is that right?
Well, not like porn, but it's kind of, it's a bit sexy.
What's her porn name?
Anne Rice.
No reason. But
I believe it's Anne Rampling. Which sounds quite sexy.
Anne Rampling?
Oh, yes.
So she, I mean, I can totally see how she could write good porn.
Yeah.
Because you sort of...
I mean, to be fair, the stuff she writes under Anne Rice is pretty fucking porny.
I know. Yeah. All right, I'm going to check that out. Good stuff.
That would be Jeff Rutten. Jeff Rutten.
Roger Bangs.
I'd be Hannah George. I'd be fucking proud. I'd be like, I'm like, Mom, I've got a book out.
Own it.
Don't read it.
Oh, but maybe is he wanted for something under his real name? Is he trying to be a man in the canoe and set up an old, like a fake, so he's got like a lifeboat?
Oh, it could be, Helen. It could be. Helen, what did you say earlier?
I said I wondered if it was a communist thing and it was a McCarthy thing.
Oh.
And so the Hollywood 10 where the... alleged communists who were basically banned from working under their own names in Hollywood.
Oh, that, yeah.
A couple of years before this, really. So this was kind of a sneaky way back in.
That makes way more sense.
I mean, really, though, does it when you think about it?
Yeah, yeah, that's much better than he wanted to write romance.
I like the rom-com. I like
that's
the
more
rom-com.
Likely over time.
Roger Bangs. Boy, do I have Casablanca 2. This time they fuck.
Oh, they totally fucking Casablanca.
Not on screen, though. I'm talking full penetration.
Fuck me again, Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
I suppose.
That's not...
It's not in the film, is it? Yeah, there's a thing.
You rubbed it for her, now rub it for me. Anyway.
It's disrespectful.
This is very upsetting.
How dare you? That's a lie.
This is my favorite mashup ever. I'm having so much fun. I don't even care what you guys think. This is about me now.
More Sambuca?
This stuff's great.
Light it on fire. Okay.
Light me on fire? What? Oh, listen, fire. Okay, sorry.
So, yes, Trumbo had been blacklisted for joining the Communist Party in 1943, 1947.
Oh, he actually joined the Communist Party?
Yes, well, quite a few of them had, yeah.
When they were allies of the US, like...
My knowledge of this is sketchy, but I thought that, like, loads of people were accused of stuff that they had not remotely done.
Well, that happened as well.
In America, surely not.
Blasphemy. With a country of justice. So in 1947, he gets taken down by one of my favorite names for a governmental committee ever. Does anybody know what it was called?
Roger Whack. Bangs.
Wait, what?
Roger Bangs.
Roger Bangs. What did you say?
Whack.
Whack?
Whack.
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 Is that an
Isn't
acronym?
Isn't that what Al Pacino says in Senator Warren?
What does the acronym stand for?
House Un-American Activities Committee.
That's right.
Oh.
Un-American Activities Committee. So how cute is that?
American.
Aww.
Is that like not shooting people?
Yeah. You don't own a gun? Get out of here.
So he was...
You don't like burgers? Get out of here.
He was whacked off.
That's what I kept hearing as well.
It was Dalton Trumbo in the bath with the whacker.
So he refused to answer any questions, quite right, part of the 10, and he was sentenced to 11 months in jail, which is a funny number, isn't it? Like, why not go to a year? Why 11 months? I couldn't find that out. It's like $9.99. No, okay, it's £10.
When I used to work for Domino's Pizza,
uh-huh.
If you did a certain length of shift, you got a free pizza.
Oh.
And all of the shifts would always be 50 minutes short of the length to get a free...
Like, when I was part-time, so all mine were. So was it that they didn't want to give him a free pizza?
Oh, my God. Probably. Yeah. Oh, that's such bullshit, man. Yeah.
Every now and then I got a slightly longer shift, and I was like, oh, my God. I get a free pizza.
And then they don't pay you overtime. They're like, you got the pizza.
It's true. If you do a year in prison in America, every year you complete in prison in America, you get a pizza.
Prison pizza.
Yeah, prison
That'd be
pizza.
A great name for a pizza chain, wouldn't it? Prison pizza.
I'll have
a double shank with stuffed crust.
I had a pizza in a travelodge a while ago, and it's a bit like that, I imagine.
Yes. Not great.
I love the poster of the Travelodge pizza. Yeah, when we tour, we do stay in Travelodge.
Things are going pretty well.
Pretty well. We did treat ourselves to a premiere and the other Ooh. Day, though. But even the poster of the Travelodge pizza, they can't make it look good. It's just this sad little swirly sweet corn mess.
They're like, we do boil these, right?
Is this a cigarette butt on my pizza? Yes, that's the topping.
They look so shocked if anyone orders one.
Could I have mine extra steamed?
I ordered a pizza once on an EasyJet flight.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely true. Easy I had pizza. A microwaved EasyJet pizza.
Oh, shit.
It was everything you dream it would be.
Was this a cry for help? What were you thinking?
Did it hit you before you landed?
Afterwards.
Okay. Because they charged extra for that on EasyJet.
Coin-operated toilets.
Yes. True.
So he got 11 months in jail, a fine, and worst of all, he was blacklisted from the studios. But what does Trumbo do after he's sentenced?
He uses his massive ears and flies off.
He does. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I can fly, I can fly, I can fly.
After he's sentenced or after his sentence? Like, after he comes out of prison?
After he is sentenced by the judge.
But before he goes in?
Correct.
He writes an Oscar-winning screenplay.
Yeah.
Really quickly, in the bath.
In the prison bath.
He buries his gold where they'll never find it.
I'm worried about how long his wife has been in labour. Is it thinking about her?
She's one of the unlucky ones.
What do you think Trumbo does? What does Trumbo do?
Hold a press conference.
Go to McDonald's.
Generally, you know,
shoots a man in Reno just to watch him die.
I think that really.
I'm trying because I've seen the film, but I barely remember it.
Yeah.
And Helen's written books about this shit. So.
True.
She may be the ringer here.
Yeah.
James has no knowledge of any of this.
No. None.
And barely knows who Bryan Cranston is. So I suspect you should. But I think he might be right.
What, that he went to McDonald's?
That he wrote an Oscar-winning screenplay afterwards.
In McDonald's.
Yeah. In McDonald's. Yeah. In the bath.
Yeah.
Fully nude.
What McDonald's are you going to? What is happening?
Yeah, also you could be McDonald's fully nude. Is 70s. It just had a birthday, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'd have a double Trumbo with cheese.
Is he the Hamburglar? Is this the Hamburglar origin story?
Yeah.
The Did
inception.
He petition Mayor McCheese for clemency?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, he flees the country to Mexico.
Oh. Smart.
Yeah, we're going to Mexico. Which reminds me of the guy from The Simpsons. You know, who always steals the bus. What's he called? He's my favourite.
Otto.
Is it Otto?
No, he's not Otto. Otto's the bus driver.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's...
With the hair.
Is it Mayor Quimby? No.
The guy with the tattoos?
Yeah, stick. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So just a little reminisce for me.
Oh, the Cape Fear spoof guy.
Yes.
Sideshow
Bob.
Oh, no, it's not Sideshow Bob.
No.
No,
what's he called? Sting. What?
Snake.
Snape!
I heard Snape. Snape!
Snape!
Do you know what? This has made me realize it's time to rewatch all of The Simpsons.
Oh, come to my house.
Since
my kids
are
obsessed.
I can't watch Dude, Where's My Car Now? Because I know how it ends. So
by
I guess
the way, Simpsons fans, you could, there's an album, which we now listen to in the car, of all the best songs from the 90s.
Mm.
It's from 1997, and they've got Who Rigs Every Oscar Night. They've
we do.
All the bangers.
Nice. Monorail. Yeah.
No, that's on there.
Nothing's better than Monorail.
Monorail. Oh, but they stay in your head for a long time.
Oh, now I'm thinking all of it. Sorry, guys. Wow.
Dr. Sayers, Dr. Sayers.
Yes. Dr. Sayers. I was so worried that wasn't on there because it's not called that. It's called something about Selma. A fish called Selma, it's called.
Oh,
but it was
okay
on there.
I know every A by C, yes, from chimpanzee to chimpanzee. That one.
So
but
good.
You'll never make a monkey out of me.
Something. Mexico.
Mexico.
All this from Mexico. Yeah. He's got a wife and children, by the way. No need to name them. They're not important. But he takes them to Mexico, and he, quote-unquote, almost starved to death because he's struggling to find work. And then he began using more than a dozen pseudonyms to conceal his identity. And again, quote-unquote, just scraped by working three times as hard. Or in other words, he got a little taste of what it is to be a woman, I guess.
Well, that's what you get when your own crime case doesn't pass the Bechdel test. Yeah.
Now, in order to get any work in the first place, he needed a nice, dodgy production company, and he finds one, which was run by three brothers. Your next question is, what was the name of that production company?
Was it the Bee Gees?
Inclined.
With the blacklisted writers, we're going to get you done.
Wait, he starts a Mexican film company with three brothers?
No. No, he has to find an American dodgy production company that will take on a known blacklisted writer under a pseudonym. And the question is, what was the name of the production
Disney
company?
Well, we know that as a young elephant, he was in the circus. Maybe the Ringling Brothers?
I like where you're going with this. Very good.
Wait,
good.
Barnum and Bailey, is that a possibility as well?
Okay. Absolutely.
Sure.
Were they Barnum and Bailey? Yeah, they were brothers. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Were Barnum and Bailey?
I don't know.
Oh my God, it's almost time to watch that. Every year. We just watch it earlier and earlier.
Also has an album.
There's magic in the air this evening. Magic in the air.
Yay!
The world is at her best, you know, when people love and share.
Genuinely, I'm too pregnant for this.
So they can't cry.
I fucking love Fozzy.
We should just do an impressionist show, you guys.
That's a very good Kermit.
That was Kermit? I've never been so insulted.
It sounds like Groucho Marx.
That's what I was about to say.
Well, I just think...
Is that the answer? I was going to say Groucho Marx, because you had a quote from him earlier, and he had brothers, the Marx brothers.
Yes, it
is. Is that the answer?
No.
I should have mailed it to the Marx brothers.
It was King Brothers Productions, run by Frank, Maurice, and Herman King. Frank, I believe, is played by John Goodman in the film Trumbo. One of my favorite actors. He's very good. What was that, like Bill Clinton? Very, very fine actor. They were described as cigar-smoking hustlers. Your next question, where were the brothers from? Where are the best cigar-smoking hustlers from in America?
Sounds like it was the Marx Brothers.
Yeah, I know. Really
under pseudonym.
Nims.
Where were they from?
Where are the hustlers from in America?
Texas?
Chicago.
Texas.
Nice, Chicago.
Well, the cigars presumably come from Cuba, but... They wouldn't be Cuban.
No.
So.
Well, they could have been at that point because it was pre-embargo, I think.
Oh, good information. Could they be from New York? I always picture New York mobsters having big cigars. I'm going to say New York.
That's a good answer.
I'm going to, just to be different, I'm going to say Minnesota.
Okay.
I like it, yes.
Oh. You're carrying quite a load there.
Where are you from?
I guess that's your friend in the woodchopper.
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, then.
Oh, I'm from Pennsylvania.
So you're the dodgiest American I know.
That was supposed to be Frances McDormand in Fargo, but I failed.
I got it.
Stick with Jennifer, whatever Cooley. Her face is. It was called her Caniston. And that...
Jennifer Caniston, no.
There's a lot to unpack with that, isn't
that's
there?
That's a very different episode of Friends. Yeah.
But also, everyone would totally buy that treatment.
Ross, I'm itchy.
I might have been Gunther. I think the one time she sleeps with Gunther.
Oh, oh dear.
No. Sad times.
Oh,
sad
dear.
Times for Gunther.
There is magic in the air. Oh, my God.
Not
what if
anymore.
We can just all be Kermit? Let's all try it. Everyone, together, ready?
There's magic in the air.
Yeah.
Magic in the air.
What a way to shit on his impression. What a horrible thing to do to a man.
Can do it.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing. Yeah, do the fucking Bee Gees. Go on then. Dare you. Double dare you.
I don't even know where we are.
Chicago!
Hey. It was Chicago.
That was not a memory. That was a genuine guess.
Oh, well done.
Are you very sure? Well
done. I'm pretty sure.
Because I can actually see her notes.
Okay, so I did write the case, yes.
So they were from Chicago, and they made it a point. Just stop it. Chris!
So they're saying, Chicago, just stop it, you goddamn Rick. That's what they say in Chicago.
Yeah, I worked with Chris Hewitt.
Enthusiasm.
He was very, very creepy. He leaned over and he tried to read my notes. But I didn't let him. I crumbled up my case.
I haven't actually been drinking and now it's hit me. Okay. The King Brought. Jesus Christ, are we still on this question? Let's speed it up. They made a point to work with blacklisted writers, but that was not any sort of protest against McCarthyism. It was just because they knew they could exploit the writers and pay them far less than the going rate. Thank fuck it's all changed in 2023. So, Trumbo starts working with him, but they're terrible about paying him. He's always chasing his payments, and he's very, very depressed at this point. And in fact, he's considering taking his own life so that his family can just cash in on his life insurance. Oh. Things are bleak.
Don't do it, Dalton.
But then in 1953, he sends the King brothers a script called The Boy and the Bull, later changed to The Brave One. It was a humble film about a Mexican boy from a poor family who bonds with a bull gifted to his family by a wealthy landowner. There is magic in the air. There's magic with this bull. But the script itself was controversial and leads to a lawsuit. That's right, there are two crimes in this story. Why would there be a lawsuit about this script?
Ooh, is it like, did he meet a child and a bull? And the child was like, oh, this is my mate, this bull. We've got a great story. And then he didn't get permission from the bull or the child.
Oh, right. Permission from the bull.
I mean, you go... Well, but you know, if it was a real thing, like I'm never sure, quite sure what permissions you need.
Did someone else write it?
Okay.
Did it?
He ripped off Ferdinand.
Okay.
Can I just confer with Helen? Helen, you know the answer. So
I don't know the answer to this, though.
You don't know.
I don't know the answer.
Look me in the eye and tell me that.
I don't know the answer.
She's fucking lying. Why was he sued? He used her real names.
Ah, okay. Based on a real story, I didn't get permission
the bull
for
suit.
The bull's real suit. Name.
The bull's real name.
What was the bull's real name, I wonder?
Ferdinand.
Bully.
Ferdinand.
Bully.
Can't be
Jennifer Coolidge.
Jennifer Coolidge.
Hi. Oh, I'd really appreciate it if you didn't... Don't wave that red flag in my face. It just makes me want to run at you. I feel like you're gonna stab me.
Do you know that? So Sam Neill, you know the actor Sam Neill from Jurassic
Sam
Park.
Sam Neill.
He has a farm and he names the animals on his farm after his leading ladies that he's worked with. And apparently
it's
some of them are not impressed to have bulls and pigs named after them. Like he, yeah. you know, he considers it like a you know tribute to them, but it, that is not always a
yeah. People can be touchy about tributes.
Yeah. Some of them loved it. Like I think Juno Temple loved her pig, right? So okay. she was just like, yes, always right. wants updates on her pig.
Nicole Kidman, not so much. She was.
I mean,
like, Nicole Pigman.
I feel like she'd be into it. I feel like she'd be cool with it. I don't
maybe,
know, but.
Maybe. Man, I kind of want a list of who liked it and who didn't like it.
Does he then invite these people to then eat their namesakes?
Eat their own namesakes. No. You know, he didn't answer yeah. that question, so I don't know for
he
sure.
He gives them a knife and 3 days in the wild go and
aren't
find
farmers,
them.
Farmers, like, not supposed to name stuff?
I'm just so naive. And even and I am a meat eater, guiltily. But I forget when I hear about, like, farmers and they have animals. I'm like, oh, they're not just pets. They're going to do stuff with that. Okay. Just always,
do stuff.
Just always really shocked. Okay. I shall tell you. Yeah. An entertainer from Barcelona called Juan Duval had died in 1954, but his widow, Carmen, came forward and claimed that Duval had told a very similar story in his own screenplay oh. just a year before Trumbo submitted The Brave One. Your next question is, had Juan Duval ever sent his screenplay to a production company?
Is he called Wonderwall?
Juan, no.
I just, well, maybe. I think I heard what I wanted to hear.
You're going to be the one who sues me.
Juan Duval.
Juan, what? I mean, it is, isn't it? But okay.
You're my Juan Duval.
And what was the question? Because I was so distracted.
Had it ever been sent to a production company?
No.
Had it been sent to the Kings? Like, because I feel like maybe they're that dodgy, and maybe the answer is yes.
Yes, it had been sent to the King Brothers.
Oh, but is it a coincidence?
Well, this is the question. It's all a bit dicey from the King Brothers side. I'm sorry.
Somebody needs to take their pills.
Actually, that is. We've got half an hour left.
We have half an hour left. We have extra time tonight. Yeah. Do we need to do the 1 hour stretch? Are we feeling sleepy? Oh, good.
No, they all did a Kermit, they're fine.
That's so true.
Truly,
we're all still
magic
awake.
In the air.
Okay, what?
Are you doing Kermit now, Zane?
You were on fine.
No, I'm doing Dumbo because I can't right. remember where I am or what's going on. Oh my God. Dumbo's always high. Dumbo, where's my car?
Keep going, baby. Yeah.
I just can't find my place. Oh, yes, he'd sent it to the King Brothers. Dun, dun, dun. We already did that. It's all a bit dicey from the King Brothers side because someone who had worked with the King Brothers testified during the lawsuit that when they'd read Trumbo's script, they mentioned the similarity to Juan Duval's Wonderwall's script. And apparently one of the King Brothers said, don't know what you're talking about, and walked away. Ooh. Trumbo maintained his innocence throughout, and he put it down to coincidence. And in fact, to make things more complicated, more than 9 people claimed to have originated the story behind The Brave One.
Mm. Oh.
So there was a bit of a, like, I'm Spartacus situation happening, which is topical because Dalton yeah. Trumbo wrote Spartacus. Didn't I do well?
Segways. Well. Love it.
In fact, the King Brothers had already quietly settled another lawsuit from a Boston-based writer who also claimed that he had come up with the story.
Why is everyone claiming this?
It's weird, isn't
it? It's bullshit.
Hey!
Very good.
Like, is
come
it,
on.
Is it? It's not even out. It's not even like, oh, I want that money. It's like not even out yet. They're all just saying I wrote it.
Oh, no, it's all out. This is all after it's won.
Is this after Oscar?
Oh, okay. That makes way more sense. I thought this was at the submitting
no,
stage.
No, fair enough. This is all post-Oscar. There was a British...
So this is the one that wins the Oscar for the story?
Yes. Mm. Yes, it is.
And it's by... Okay.
Dalton
right.
Trumbo. Yeah. Under the name Robert Rich. Rich.
Yeah.
That alarm was for Katie to just recap. Right, Katie's mind's going to wander about an hour in, so...
Previously on the Mashup podcast.
Now, what do you think was the outcome of Carmen? So she's the widow of Wonderwall. And she wanted $300,000... for damages because she claimed that they had stolen this story. What do you think was the outcome of that lawsuit?
I think it was thrown out of court. Get out of here, you bum. That's what the judge said.
Okay.
I think they settled for a very small amount.
I think they probably gave her $300,000 because that's what they spend on catering. So they were like, sure, take it. Go nuts.
Not in those days. Well, jeez. You know.
That was in those days' money. That's how you
say
it,
right? Oh, so nowadays
it
would be $300 million.
It's a lot. It's a lot. What do you guys
think?
We're
so topical with our references.
We are, aren't we? Cutting edge.
I always reference single white female on this podcast for some reason. I get obsessed with it. And then we have, for whatever reason, a very young following, which is lovely. And I feel very old, but very privileged that you listen to me. Like, I'm like, single white female, am I right? Hey.
What's a classified ad? I don't. Is that on Snapchat? I'm very confused.
Like, some things are just classic. Anyway, I feel like Hollywood doesn't tend to be nice to widows. And
I thought you were going to say women, but you really got down there.
It doesn't
fuck widows.
Well, it doesn't like women and a widow.
Sure, even worse.
Extra vulnerable. And they don't like parting with money.
Okay, so you're going to say it did not go in her favor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna gamble that way.
Gamble that way, baby.
Oh. I guess these other 8 or 9 people that said they originated it as well. That's what makes
Does
me think
that make
that
it harder?
It was kind of like, I don't know, was it just a story that was told in a pub and then everyone was like, that would make a great film and they all write a movie about it?
There was like, a bull like at a bar just regaling people.
Like the one we're going to hear later tonight where we're all going to go off and write our separate scripts about
exactly.
it, right?
It's like a mega version of like, if comics are riffing and then everyone's like, oh no, that's my, no, I'm probably going to do this. No, wait, well, actually, I want to do it's like that. You got that, right?
It's like when, what were the two films that were so similar? Deep Throat, no, Deep Impact.
Wow.
Sorry.
Deep Throat and Armageddon, yes. Indistinguishable.
Sorry, that was one of Anne Rice's. That was an Anne Rice side project, I apologize. I mean, as though Deep Impact sounds any better.
That's an asteroid.
Oh.
Come on. Come on. Roger Bangs writes.
I'm going to get it on.
Roger Bangs. Okay, so yes. Carmen wanted $300,000. I will tell you, she was awarded $15,000, which is about $300,000 in today's money, and she bought herself, amongst other things, a Ford Fairlane 500.
Ooh.
So at least
she got what she wanted.
Well, she got about a percentage of what she wanted, but she was awarded...
5%?
She only got 5% of what, so that's what you said.
Sounds right.
Yeah, right?
Mm. Sounds
Which
right.
Which is more than I was guessing. When I said a small amount, I was thinking hundreds, so...
Right, right.
And I said nothing, so I am wrong, but in the right area.
Name of my sex tape. right, so she buys a cool car. At least she's got a cool widow car. Everything's forgotten. But Wandaval...
The Widowmobile.
He's gone. He's gone.
With her dead husband as her sidekick. Just like in a Wallace and Gromit style motorcycle car combo. Are you all right there, husband man?
Would you put a helmet on him or not?
Well, I mean, that
you
sad.
Don't want to be pulled over by the police.
Very.
So.
I'm just asking the big questions.
Yeah. Maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
Maybe you do. You don't want his head to come off at a traffic lights, do you?
Oh. That's not what a helmet saw.
So your head doesn't come off.
People do shit like that to get in the carpool lane. I mean, maybe not with corpses. But wasn't there an inflatables
yes.
thing?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of inflatables.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, regularly yeah. drive around with an inflatable.
The old inflatable second husband trick.
Don't get me started on inflatables. Oh. Oh. All right. So, Wandaval, I just can't say that now because it's like I'm Austrian and like I love the Wandaval.
Wandaval? It's the Wandaval.
Play Wandaval. In my estimation, is the best Oasis album. What a single. Okay. Widow's car. Yeah, okay, so John, his son, who is still alive, has maintained that his father was the true author of the work and should be awarded a posthumous Oscar, but that has never been given. And many people have since looked into this case and do conclude in favor of Trumbo, including Professor Tom Dougherty, who is author of the Blacklist History book Show Trial, who said, judging by the evidence, Trumbo deserved his Oscar, and Carmen DeVal deserved her Ford Fairlane 500.
Oh. Wow, that's a burn.
It's a little snarky. Yeah. Although it kind of does suggest that if she deserved that car, then she was kind of right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And we're just sort of
turning a blind eye. I mean, it sounds like her husband was probably underpaid in a separate area.
Yeah. Maybe. Sex tape. Okay. Once we start, it's like Pringles. I can't stop. This is your final question for this case, guys. Okay. Okay. Let's go. Was Dalton Trumbo ever awarded the Oscar formally?
Posthumously? I feel like yes. Uh-huh. But he was dead.
What, they
so
just
like did it
threw it at his grave.
It can't
yes.
Like can
like literally just like maybe make like a catapult situation.
Or like
launched
like
it.
His hand emerged from the grave like Carrie.
Like Carrie.
I'd like to thank you.
Zombie Trumbo. Sombo. Is that something? Should we write that down? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like by the time everyone calmed down about McCarthyism, he must have been dead.
Hey, calm down about McCarthyism! Hey, calm down!
What? What do you think?
Oh, just no.
No,
I think so.
I'm agreeing yes, but he was dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone tried to clean up the image of Hollywood.
Okay.
Was there a scene in the film? I feel like there might have been a scene in the film when he was older. Am I making that up?
Older Hollywood. I've literally never seen the film.
Do you have a memory?
I've seen the film.
I'm having a memory.
Okay. Talking Gorilla.
But no, it might be a. It. No, that might it. Be his other film.
Yes, and there's a giant monster attacking Japan. No way, I'm just going through all my Bryan Cranston films in my head now.
I don't know.
You guys, have we just discovered a great new Oscar category, posthumous award?
Yeah, because there have been a few, but not nearly enough.
Yeah. And
it would give them a chance to sort out the best song category.
It would. Yes, please welcome the Bee Gees.
It's like
a weekend
histories.
Of Bee Gees, really, at this point.
I do like that idea. Instead of just the tribute like, section.
Just be like, here's another person we fucked over in the 50s.
the fucked over award.
Here's what they should have had.
Oh, yeah. Here's where you should have won. Yeah.
The speeches would be so much shorter.
Yeah. The because we were racist award. Right? 25 days later. Okay. He actually did receive the Oscar before he died, but he was literally on his deathbed. So the president of the Academy presented him with the Oscar next to his bed in 1975.
With a television link-up? What year was this?
There was no television link-up. No, it was a private ceremony.
All right, fine.
Did he give it gladly, or was he like, here you go, adult. Whoop, hey, hey.
If you can't grasp it, it's not yours.
Lowering it slowly down on a fishing rod.
But like, how did that get so private ceremony? Sure, respectful. But did they announce it at all in the Oscars that year?
Oh yes. Okay. I mean, quite
they
a big deal was
photo
made of
or something.
It, and yeah, probably of him with makeup on, and you know,
was he in the
makeup.
Bath when he got it?
No,
in his death bath.
Oh, that's the sound of an Oscar going into the water.
Oscar goes in the water, shark's in the water.
So it did mean the world to Trumbo, but in his typical sardonic style, he said it was like being presented with a 19-year-old bastard child. You're supposed to love it, but the emotion isn't there.
Why has he experienced both of those things?
That's such a weirdly specific point to make. Do you want to tell us something, Dalton?
Guess what happened yesterday?
Oh, this is nearly annoying as last week when I met Kelly.
to write her into the will. Okay.
It's like the Jerry Springer show.
He went on to say, my inclination is to make jokes, and yet this is callous because so many people were hurt at the time and so many careers were stolen. So let's raise a glass, shall we, to Dalton Trumbo.
Yay!
Wow, went very somber
and
there.
His bastard children.
And his bastard children. And Wonderwall! The possible worthy winner of the best story. Now, oh my gosh, the time has come. Put the lights up. It's time for someone in the audience to tell us a story.
Ooh, we've got a we've already got a hand.
Oh, ooh. Oh.
Oh, well, that's the lady that likes to drink many things.
Hey. Let's start with the lady who drinks many things. Hi. And then I did notice your hand, and if we have time, oh yeah.
But there's only one Prosecco.
Oh. Fight.
Best
fight.
Film, Prosecco Award.
Okay, so there were two things I was thinking of for like the best film.
Hi, what's
film
your
crime.
Name?
Hello, my name is Lolly. I'm a duck person.
Hi, what? Lolly. Nice to meet you.
Hi. So there were two things I could immediately thought of. And like one of them I thought like, oh, is that time when like I was driving? And then these in Scotland as well. So because it's Scotland and the borders and everything. And there was these boys and they were from England and they were drunk and a stolen car from England. And they'd crashed into me at like 60 miles an hour. Oh, such a bad time. I was fine. It was okay. Don't worry.
Oh,
okay.
Shit, though.
I mean, it was good, though. All good. That was a bad crime. But then I thought, oh, there's a better one for like...
That's just out of interest. Did your boobs get bigger at the end of the...
No.
Crash
no.
into these, bitch.
Okay,
sadly,
sorry.
No.
Yeah.
So the other thing I was thinking of was that this would be a better film in like an indie kind of crime way. Ooh, indie
okay.
crime.
Yeah,
ooh.
Yeah, right.
Was when I lived in Glasgow as a student and I used to ride a bicycle because I was poor. Which I also did in London, to be fair, but yeah, I still am many years later.
What shade from your friend? You still are.
But this time in Glasgow, from my house, from the close in Glasgow. You know, it's like there's the flats and there's the houses and stuff, and you go into the big house. And then there's like the bit inside and it goes into people's houses.
Yeah.
So there's a bit in the middle and that's the close.
Okay.
And I can just leave my bicycle in the close.
Sure, sure.
And one day it was gone. Oh no. But had I maybe just cycled somewhere and forgot? Because that happens if you go somewhere and you just forget that you cycled there and you walk home and you're like, oh no, I had a bike. But that didn't happen. Someone had just taken it. Ooh. What happened to the bicycle? But then I was walking to uni another day, maybe a week later, and I saw the bike. It was my bike. So what did I do? I called the police. Ooh, very smart, very smart. And they came and they're like, is this your bike? I was like, this is totally my bike. Had you reported it? No. Why not? Well, I didn't know if I'd just left it somewhere or not. Yeah.
Wait, and where did you see, where was the bike when you saw it?
It was on a bridge on the way to the university in Glasgow.
On its own?
On the way to Glasgow University.
You guys, yeah. I have ideas for this one.
Yeah?
It's aliens.
Because the police did help me to then like chip the lock off that the perpetrators had put on my bike to steal it and lock it somewhere where they probably thought was a safe place.
Did you say at any point, dude, where's my bike?
I did not, and I wish I had. And wouldn't it be the best thing?
It would have been the best thing.
But you were sure when you saw it on the bridge that it had been stolen.
Yes.
And then the
because
thieves...
I definitely didn't leave it there because I hadn't been there in ages.
And you hadn't been on the bridge.
It was definitely your bike. The police didn't just help you steal someone else's bike.
Yeah, because they asked like that. They did ask that. They were like, are you sure? Are you sure this is your bike? I was like, yeah. I know this is my bike. Look at these weird stickers that are on this bike. Look how the mud guards do not match. Because I didn't understand how to put the front mud guard that matched the back mud guard on. So I just put on this little makeshift thing.
So that was unique to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, the aliens didn't recognize
very makeshift.
This is a great way to get a free bike.
Yeah.
I mean, just apropos
of nothing. And then this policeman just went into his car and got like a screwdriver and a wee hammer and battered the lock off for me.
Nice.
Oh, what a G.
Okay.
And then you just, this film has everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
My only worry is that the bicycle thieves as a title has already been taken.
True.
So
it's true.
That is a concern. But otherwise.
I can't have a feeling the thieves should have invested in a better lock.
Shouldn't they? I feel their lock was way worse than my lock that I had just left on the bike and not attached to anything.
Did they steal it back a couple of days later on?
They did not. It was always my bike after that. I still have it.
That's your film right there. If they stole the bike, then you got the police to steal it back.
Yeah.
And then they got the police to steal it back from you. And then you put together a crew to steal it back from them.
This
now
is how the
cooking.
Film gets better. It gets better and better. This is a good film.
There we go.
All right, see, that film, everyone could go, I'm in, you son of a bitch.
We call it Halford's
Eleven. The ultimate heist film. Yeah,
I like that, but I also like Aliens.
Yeah.
Also Aliens. Well, don't worry, we're bringing Aliens in. We could do the heist
and the Aliens combo.
It could be a meet cute if the thief was really hot.
Yeah.
And he steals the bike and you steal it back and then he comes to your house and, I don't know, asks for the bike. Is that how crime works? I'm very confused.
So after it's escalated to a very high degree, then they fall in love.
Yeah.
Wait, can the bike share the bike? Can the bike like go into an iceberg? Like can we get this Titanic thing?
Can thousands of people die if I'm gonna be interested?
Okay, you know what we could do? We could have a truck carrying ice crash.
Yes.
There's loads of ice cubes on the road. And then they hit the ice cubes. It's an iceberg.
Not ice cube, crucially, because that would be a different thing.
Look, he's a good actor. He could be in it. I don't know.
Why would ice cube be in Glasgow?
Just why we're workshopping. It's a
yes. There's no judgment in Blue Sky, actually.
Yeah, okay.
He might just exec. We're just working on it.
It's fine, it's fine.
Now, who would we cast?
As the bike.
Bryan
Cranston.
He could do anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or Tilda Swinton, either way.
Oh, yes.
Local for her as well. Right? She lives in Scotland. It's fine.
This is perfect. Very nice. I think, well, we need some heist actors.
We need something bike thick. Luke Evans.
Why? Because his name's Evans.
Yes. Luke Evans cycles.
All right.
My favourite thing about Luke Evans is that I love it when an actor or sometimes like the presenter of a quiz show will bring out an album. Like my favourite albums of all time. And my favourite thing is that Luke Evans' album is called At Last.
Like people were waiting for a Luke Evans album.
Who was waiting?
But maybe he could do the soundtrack, is what I'm saying.
All right, well, okay, if we're going to do that, see, I really liked Rihanna in Ocean's 8. Can we cast her?
Sure.
Luke Evans and Rihanna together, like a sort of like a pantomime horse situation. He's the front end of the bike, she's the back end of the bike. I can see this working.
We can't go wrong with this.
But also, you know, because there's got to be opposites attract. They've got to hate each other to start with.
He was the front end of a bike. She was the back end of a bike.
But they both had mud flaps.
Name me your sex
tape. Weird stickers.
It is off the chain.
4 stars.
Off the chain. Four stars, James.
Off the chain.
Off the chain.
Rest assured, you have won this Prosecco. You have absolutely won the Prosecco. Do we want to quickly just workshop another one?
Well, go on.
I think. Go on.
Come on. Let's have another one.
Just so you know, there's no prizes for you.
You can have some Sambuca from this jug.
Yeah, we've got.
There's loads of sweets backstage. We can go and get you a fun-sized Mars bar.
Would you like some crack?
I'm very invested in the Sambuca, actually. Like usually. I really like Sambuca because of the aniseed flavour.
Right?
It's good to know that there's one other person.
I drink fennel tea. Like, I'm fucking hardcore.
It's too much for me. Crime was, I work for a company I can't name. That none of you are.
The CIA.
Sadly, no. We were contracted to work on a project to improve a restaurant in the UK, and we had to do it using technology.
Oh, no.
Are you in the mafia? Because you sound like one of those guys. Hey, nice restaurant you got here. It'd be a shame if someone improved it using technology. Oops.
It's going in that direction, but it's not me.
Okay.
So my boss overpromised from the beginning and said,
Do you work for the Conservative Party?
No. With the project. So my boss overpromised from the beginning, said that we would not need to be paid until the project worked.
No. Oh, who says that?
He was a very good teacher in that I will never do that. So he overpromised, and then about a year into the project, we realized it was never going to work, so he had me falsify a data set to convince them.
What?
But then...
Wow.
Lock him up!
This is like the porn agency or whatever it is. You're going to blow the whistle. Sorry, continue.
No, I can't. I'm not going to name anything.
We're all going to be called to testify. This
no, protect yourself.
Very inconvenient.
I'm not, I got
right,
paid
the
off
the film
to
is
not
called
tell
Never
me.
Again. It stars Matt Damon. Woo! Mark Ruffalo's in it. I don't know what he does yet. So, but he's there.
Eventually, it got out to the rest of our company because we were just three people, my boss being in charge of the shenanigans.
Three people. I'm thinking the Marx Brothers, just saying. It's a little bit more fun.
We received
now.
A lot of screenplays as well. So we in the end, he got caught and was saddled with the debt he created, which ended up being like 2 million quid.
But
we found out that one of the partners we've been working with, he had shares in. So he'd encouraged us to work with this software company that I can't name, that he also had a joint interest in. So he probably embezzled nearly 100K from the company, but they couldn't prove it. Now he works for a different tech company, and we're just waiting for it to happen again.
Oh my God! Wait, so he didn't do... Wait. Did he do...
We're going to have to cut this Prosecco in half!
Did he do prison time?
He was just quietly excused from the company.
Your kid... So he never... Like, he never got arrested?
No, our company basically begged their way out of the contract, I think. I'm not sure.
Wow!
Are we accessories now?
Yes. I feel involved.
I was paid off to not reveal any of the names of the people.
Not very well.
No. Yeah, not at all.
Okay, so the...
Okay, so good. Two very popular podcasts.
Look, the podcast story.
But you know what, though? You know what? Sorry. That is an unsatisfactory ending to a film. There's no justice for the bad guy.
But it's true to life.
It is.
It could be like the walk away at the end of Wall Street, right? But it's like... In this case, it's saying it in a podcast instead. Yeah.
It's like Titanic, but if the iceberg wins.
Wait, my understanding
of Titanic. Definitely
won. The iceberg
did win.
My understanding is Titanic. Titanic won, didn't it?
I know you got tired halfway through the film, Chris, but we'll talk about it
sometime. They were having a lovely time.
The iceberg was paid not to talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, wait, sorry. What were you going to say? We interrupted you.
The way I was paid off was because I was paid off by a specific person because it turned out that the guy who'd done all the naughtiness had been using someone else's email account for a significant portion.
Wow.
But his emails!
He'd been let by that person. He'd been given their password to use their email account.
Wow.
So I was given the money to not reveal that. The rest of it was just generally being kept quiet.
So did you have to sign something?
No, never. And the money was only 200 quid.
So you could talk about it?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it...
And then you can all get justice for me.
It's what we do! I mean, the only thing I can think to do is roll the Prosecco and whoever catches it first.
We need, you know what? There's wine in that fridge.
Are any of the organizers here? Because we could just steal from the freebies from back. We did promise to protect them there, but that's a fantastic story.
Thank you very much for
sharing it.
Wow.
Well, that was incredible. You guys, you've been absolutely lovely. Thank you for coming along to this mashup episode. And I guess all that remains to say is listen to both of our podcasts, please. And special thanks to you guys. It has been so much fun.
Yeah, this
Thank
has
you
been
for
so
having
fun
us.
To be Kermit
great.
With you.
There's magic in the air.
Magic in the air.
Waka waka.
Can't think of a better way to end. Thank you very much.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.